Hey, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Featured Energy. Today we have a guest whose name I'm going to screw it up, and her film name is screwed up. So I'm going to turn it over to her right now. It is a short film, so everybody knows ahead of time. Welcome to the show. Tell everybody who you are.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nicole Rosas, and my film is Abnegation.
See, it wasn't that so much easier to get you to do it than me, because I would have just butchered everything. So, hi, welcome to the show. I'm very excited. What made you want to be a director of short films? Like, this seems, when you presented this to me and I finished it, I thought it should be longer.
Oh, yes. I would love for it to be longer. If there's any producer out there that wants to give me maybe $15 million, I'd be happy to make the feature version.
That's all you need? I think you could do this for $5 million. I really think you could do it.
I was going to say $5 million, but then I was like, maybe I'll push for Keira Knightley in one of the lead roles. So let's bump it up to $15 million just in case.
So where would you have Keira Knightley? I mean, she is getting a little bit older. Not saying she's still not attractive, but a little bit older. Is she going to take the friend, or is she taking the other one? Because you can't have her play the other one.
Oh, I don't know. I think, you know what? I think she could probably play either. Sure. I'm not going to limit it. I don't know. Keira, if you want to be in the film, I'll have you in any role you want.
So where does your idea come from? Like, this is such a period piece of a film, which you don't see a lot in short films as period pieces. So it's got to come from somewhere. There has to be a background here for you.
Well, it's funny. This had been the first film that I had done in, like, the period piece genre. Prior to this, I was doing short films that ranged in from the horror genre to comedy to drama, but I had never really used the set and the costume design as characters themselves to this degree. And I felt when the characters came to me for this story, like any other story, it's very bizarre. I don't go looking for it. It's an image or a phrase or a setting or, you know, a scene between two characters, a piece of dialogue, and it just expands from there. It's like these characters are revealing themselves to me. And I said, okay, you know, I want to make something very cinematic, you know, like Sofia Coppola has done in Marie Antoinette. I want to just try it out. And all the pieces fell together so well on this film. If I told you how long it took to shoot, you probably wouldn't believe me. But everything from where we shot to the cast, the pieces fell in line. It felt like it was meant to be.
Okay, you left me with a ton of questions here. First, we're going to have to ask you now, because you brought it up. Under 2 days to shoot it?
Under 7 hours to shoot it.
Oh, wow. Okay, then that's pretty impressive. I'll give you credit there. Now, you're saying things just fall in place. So you've told me you've done a horror short, a comedy short, and now a period piece. Those are three very different genres.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes, they are.
I guess as a director, do you feel you could do it all? And a writer? I mean, you've already touched on three hard. Comedy's very hard. Horror is so different than comedy. And then you're going to a romantic period piece. Like, this is crazy.
I feel like in the future, I've got a couple of projects in the works already. And after that, I'm really going to work on trying to, you know, mix genres. That's really interesting to me. And I think that there's a lot of freedom in that. From my perspective, I got into acting and film work because I felt very constricted by the day-to-day corporate life. So I don't know if you want to get into that. I can kind of explain to you where this all came from.
Yeah, let's do it. Get into it.
And so I didn't want to limit myself to one genre. I love some horror. I love movies about aliens. I love action films. I love fantasy. I love dramas and period pieces. I love romance. I mean, I don't want to limit myself as a filmmaker, and maybe that's going to make it really hard for me to succeed, but I think it's going to keep my passion alive. In, like, over the long term.
I will have to disagree with you. As a viewer and as people come on my show, I like to see different things for them. I like to see a comedy film for them. I like to see if they keep sending me the same film over and over again, even as an interview, it gets boring to me. I'm like, well, we've done this already. I need you to see something different from me. Even if you send me another comedy, I want to see an expansion of your first comedy. I want to see more depth. I want to see different shooting. I want to see something different. So I think that's awesome that you can do all this stuff.
Yeah, I'm not in a place where, and I don't ever know if I'll be there where I really do want to limit myself. And I know from, you know, listening to a lot of interviews with other filmmakers and their marketability in the Hollywood system, it's hard to market a director or a screenwriter if they don't have a very specific niche that they succeed at. And so I was in a place doing my short films where I wanted to try different things and figure out my strengths and weaknesses. And frankly, I still very much feel like I'm learning. And I think I always will feel that way. I can't imagine a time where I'm going to feel like I know everything I need to know and like walk onto a set or get a crew and cast together and be like, I'm ready for this. This is going to be awesome. Like, I know everything. I'm just never going to be there. And I think that's what makes it all exciting and it keeps me curious.
Yeah, well, wouldn't you say as a director, you need a challenge? Like, as an interviewer, I need a challenge. I have to meet new people to try different things. I don't know what you're walking into. You know more about me than usually I know about you because you can listen to an interview. I have no idea what you sound like. I have no idea what your interests are. So I love your idea. I'd love to walk into something away. This is new to me. Let's try this out.
I mean, it's really the opposite of corporate life. There's really no way of knowing what your day is going to look like. And it's a thrilling ride. And I want to keep it that way. I want to keep that hunger for that.
Okay, let's get started your film now. Since it only took 7 hours to film, we still have lots of discussion about it. Location is so important, I find, for your film. Like, even picking the room, and I made notes about the set design, that you definitely had to go through your mind for a few days and go, we need this kind of lamp, we need this kind of chair. So walk me through that. How did you get to that point, and where did you find the stuff?
Well, to be perfectly honest, when I was looking at locations, I was looking at historic locations in Hamilton and in Toronto, and they were all so far out of my budget that this movie almost didn't happen. I mean, I was quoted $5,000 for 4 hours, and I was quoted $2,000 for 8 hours. I mean, it was just not in my budget. And what's funny is when I approach these short films, I almost don't have a budget because I know I have to keep it as low as possible. The historic location where the film was shot is actually where my mother and stepfather got married 25 years ago. They just celebrated their 25th anniversary. And I remember walking into the space in 1995 and being transported to the past. And I thought it was such an interesting location that my mother had chosen, that when all the other locations failed and I couldn't secure them, I thought that that location came to my mind. It just popped into my mind, and I approached the director who takes care of the property, the property director, and she was very welcoming, and we shopped there. And everything from furniture to lighting to accessories to the curtains, they were ready. We walked in, we were ready to shoot. We only had to move a couple of chairs. It was meant to be.
Okay, I got to ask what the location is now since it's rentable. Where is it?
I am going to give you that bit of information, but I want you to know I've never told anybody where we shot because I don't want people to use that location because I know I want to shoot there again.
Uh-oh.
But the location's called the Shaver House, and it's in Etobicoke, in West Toronto.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. I think that's a great story. I mean, you can tell anybody you met that story. That's great. So now the costuming, again, I did find it very period-centric. So, I mean, where did you find that? You couldn't have had that lying around.
No, I actually did some research on the period, and I had very specific ideas on what I wanted the costumes to look like, but I also knew I had to be flexible because, again, budget. And I went to the Theatrics House downtown. I made an appointment, and I looked through, you know, their period piece dresses and suits and outfits for the three characters. And I did all the costume design. I chose all the costumes. I had them hemmed to the specifications of the actors' bodies, and we made some adjustments, of course, because in certain parts of the film, the costume needs to have certain details, like buttons on the back, buttons that can be undone, and so forth. So, again, it just worked out really well. I found exactly what I needed, and the people there were very helpful in pulling it together.
I do want to discuss a little bit on the focus of your directing. This could be just something I'm picking up on or something you weren't trying to do, or maybe I noticed. I definitely felt when you had conversation, you would back up and then you definitely went in on the eyes. And I noticed that three or four times. I was definitely looking at eye shots. And mm-hmm. Was that your plan to really do that, focus in close on the eyes?
Mm-hmm. I think the best actors do their acting with their eyes. And I think, given my studies in psychology, I think, and myself having trained as an actor, it's all the spaces in between. Sometimes when the actors aren't saying anything at all and they're processing what the other actor is saying, that you can really see how much work they've put into developing that character, because the backstory is playing through and their eyes are telling that backstory. So having those close-up shots for me is really important. And I hope I retain that, and not overdo it. I hope I retain that in my directing moving forward and not overdo it, but I'm glad that you noticed and you enjoyed it.
Let's stop there for a second. So, but you're doing a 10-minute short, so you can play. I mean, if you want me to focus on the eyes, you know, you're doing 10 minutes, you have a shot. You say, okay, we're going to focus on eyes today. So you just do eye shots. But I think if you're doing a full-length movie, would you find you would pull away from that more and more like make the world bigger, or you would still keep that technique?
I think I would keep the technique, but I also think that we were limited in terms of time and we were limited in terms of space. We didn't have any lights. We didn't have any artificial lighting. We could only use the lights in this space. And we had 6 hours to shoot it. The sun was going down. We had everything working against us. And so I knew I didn't have time to get the actors super physical in between lines and walking around and moving around and having to move the cameras. I had to think about all these things ahead of time when I was writing the screenplay, because I knew that that would affect budget. And if this had a chance of ever coming to light, I would need to mitigate that. Uh-huh. So yes, to your question, I would like to see more physical movement through space and interaction with other objects.
Okay. We do get a little bit more interaction in your final scene, which I'm not going to ruin. I'm going to kind of go over it quick. Mm-hmm. Did you have difficulty shooting that with the way time works now? I understand for the period, it works perfectly. I have no issues. I meant looking at the way things are presented now. Was that an issue for you as a director?
In what way? Sorry.
The physical nature.
You mean like me being afraid of the actors hurting themselves, or the actual...
actual movement of one actor to another. I mean, you don't see that nowadays. Like I said, it's very looked down on if we're not supposed to be doing that, you know, societally, I guess.
Well, I think the actors trusted each other. We had definitely had a lot of discussions and we had done rehearsals ahead of time of what this would look like. And my priority is always to make sure the actors are comfortable and they know what they're getting into. So being an actor myself, I need to have, faith in my director, and I really tried to grow that rapport with my cast beforehand. So if there was any sense of being uncomfortable, they knew they could come to me. They rehearsed it, and I checked in with them after every take, like, are you comfortable with this? You know, I wanted to make sure that Jenny, the actress that played Lily, you know, didn't get hurt, obviously, and that she was good with the physicality, and that's how we proceeded with that.
Well, there you go. Were you focusing on sound a lot? The teacups. I noticed I really hear teacups sound a lot, too, at times. Did you heighten the teacup sound, or that was just what you were picking up naturally?
You were picking that up naturally. The sound location was, the mixer was, he's awesome. His name's Greg Arnold. And he was very, very focused on getting the best sound possible in the space. And of course, in post-production, certain sounds are brought up a bit more to emphasize that. but we couldn't have had the good end product that we did without the great work on set.
See, you don't think I pay attention to these things.
You're paying attention. I'm very impressed.
Music. I notice you constantly have music. And sometimes you bring it in really heavily, like at the beginning of the film, it's really heavy. And then as the conversation, she darts off, not Lily, the woman she's talking to, when she doesn't answer the question about the median, and the music comes back. Now, is that supposed to set tone, or is that just supposed to be more of a background accompaniment for you planning with?
For me, music plays a huge part in the films that I enjoy watching, and obviously setting tone. The song itself came way after we finished shooting, and it was actually composed by one of the lead actresses, Laura D'Alessandro, who's a pianist. And she said, you know, I have a song that I composed and it might work for this film. Do you want to hear it? And I heard it and I thought it was so beautiful. It told the story in and of itself. And so I thought it was important that we would have that weaved throughout the film. And then my editor, Carol, he agreed. He thought that it was a great song. And so that's where you see it almost as another character in the film.
I do also want to discuss, you do change music at one tone, I thought, when the woman walks through the door to meet the first man we meet in the scene. You definitely have a music cue there. Was that on purpose too, the music cue?
Definitely, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was definitely on purpose.
So, makeup. I really liked your use of makeup. I found when you were doing the eye close-ups that the makeup really enhanced those shots. Mm-hmm. Now, did you have to work on that, or is that the same makeup you had at the beginning, or did you change it at all during while you were shooting?
So we were really lucky. We had this amazing makeup artist, Stephanie Stella, who was on set the entire day from start to finish. And so she was doing touch-ups along the way. So in between, you know, setting up shots or me referring back to my storyboard and notes, she would just jump in there and make sure that the actors looked on point the whole time. And she had done her research also ahead of time. So she had sent me photos of her research and wanted to make sure that we were on the same page in terms of hairstyles and makeup and what those looks conveyed on the actors was really important. So all of that detail was paid attention to.
Now let's discuss a big use of color. You do make those purple flowers pop. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that was like, I think you did find those perfect flowers because it pops for me at that scene. I think that was your plan to sort of take me away from not paying attention to my actors staring at flowers. Perfect job. It absolutely worked. I was like, those things are beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
So they purple flowers pop. I wrote that. What kind of flowers are they? Did you pick them buy them that day, or where did you find those?
Well, actually, they're artificial flowers, but they look real.
They look good.
So I wouldn't be able to tell you what flower they would be, you know, mimicking, but they worked really, really well. And with the color palette that I had chosen for the outfits, it really stood out against Lucinda's black dress and Lily's white dress. So I think it worked well.
Okay. I do want to get to the end a bit, but I'm not going to ruin it. So don't worry, which I've already gone around. You leave it very open-ended, I find. And as a viewer, I'm kind of wanting to see the next stage of the story. So is there a part two coming, or is it never going to happen? We're just going to dream what's going on?
That was like when I showed my mom and my stepdad the movie, they were kind of upset at the 11th minute. They were like, where's the rest of it? Why is it so short? And I said to them what I said to you. You want to give me a couple million? Like, actually, I had intended to, and I'm still working on writing the novel for the short film. So there's a whole world it fits into, and I want to write and have it self-published and distributed on Amazon. And from there, my plan is to pitch it to producers as a novel, not a screenplay, and then see where it goes from there.
So, because you're a short film person, I know you're working with a very limited budget, which you've told us. Casting is always a big issue, I find, for directors. Because, how did you find your cast?
I had posted a breakdown of the project on Mandy.com, and I had over 250 actors respond to the casting call. I requested some video auditions, and I reviewed them all. And then from there, I whittled down the casting options to about 20 actors. And I spoke with them over the phone. I reviewed their second audition tapes. And then once I felt comfortable, I met them in person. And when I got the three actors together, the first time, it was very obvious to me that they all had chemistry and that they looked great together, and that I had found my cast.
Since I haven't asked in a while, you're very small. How did you feed the people? I mean, they're on set for 7 hours. Did they cater at the place? Did you have something ordered in?
I wish I had fed them better, to be honest. I know that food is a big thing on set. I had ordered from a local restaurant, and I am so blessed that I have a supportive friend and first AD that she went running and picked up the food for us during our break. I just want to give her a shout out. Her name's Emily Schooley. She's an amazing actress and filmmaker herself. So yeah, I didn't have it catered per se. We had about 45 minutes to kind of chow down. Yeah. Each of us had our boxed lunches, and we had to get going right after that. But I did supply a lot of snacks in the forms of, you know, in the form of chips and fruit and drink. And by the end of the day, it was all gone. So
sounds like you fed them. I mean, you're doing the best you can.
I tried.
So when you finish a film, how long is your editing take on a short film?
Well, I'd love for it to be done in a week, but, making a film takes a village. And so I was grateful to get this amazing editor, Carol Chiramel, to work on it. He did it pretty quickly, to be honest. I think he turned it around. He turned around the first cut maybe in 3 to 4 weeks, from what I remember, which was incredible. And so it was a very smooth process. I mean, from start to finish, it was probably a dream scenario, to be honest.
Well, that's it for my questions about your film, but I do have some fun questions for you for the end.
Okay, let's do it.
Well, since your first time on the show, everybody gets the same question. So your favorite film, please?
Oh my gosh, I hate this question so much.
I know everybody does, so I have to ask it.
It's like asking somebody what's your favorite song. It's such a hard
one
to answer.
Well, you can have a few. I always let everybody cheat, so don't worry.
Okay, I'll give you a few. So I really love Dead Poets Society. I think that film really hit me in the heart, and Robin Williams' performance was incredible, as was Ethan Hawke's and Robert Sean Leonard. So that movie has stayed with me over the years. Reality Bites is another one that I still carry deep in my heart. And it's really come to mean different things to me over the years. And then I would say Richard Linklater's Before series. So Before Sunrise, Before Midnight, Before Sunset. I mean, the last one just broke my heart. But I mean, it's an incredible trilogy. I hope there's more coming. And then anything Tim Burton does, I mean, like, he's incredible. And Ridley Scott, I could go on and on.
Well, you took away my second question, was your favorite director, so I'm not going to give you that question. So okay. I'm going to change the question up. Your favorite adaptation of a book?
Oof. That's hard.
Come on, you're a big Keira Knightley fan. I'm giving you an easy one.
I really loved Little Women from 1994, and I thought Greta Gerwig did an amazing job and with a very distinct voice in her directing of Little Women. So I think every time that book is adapted for the screen, it brings something so rich. It's like a real gift. I just love it.
Okay, your last question. It's summertime. Well, getting pretty close. What film are you going to recommend people to watch this summer?
This summer? what should I recommend people to watch? I mean, given that we're all stuck inside during the quarantine, I could recommend tons of different films. Right now, actually, I'm studying. I like to study the world, and right now I am looking at the films of John Singleton, Spies in the Hood. And I couldn't believe that such a young filmmaker made such a poignant, powerful film. So the next one I'm going to watch Poetic Justice. It's been a few years since I've seen it, and I'd like to see it now with the eyes of an adult, not a teenager. And so I recommend people to really go out and discover directors and look at their work, see how they've grown and how their voice changes throughout their works.
So before you go, maybe somebody would like to see your lovely short film. Where are they going to find this?
So Abnegation is streaming on Amazon Prime. And so you can watch it there. And it's also on Vimeo. And hopefully it will be on other platforms soon.
Thank you so much for your time and have a great evening.
Thank you, Simon.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page. Thank you.